Thank you. I want to read to you the devotional I read just before I left home this morning, just because I think it's really relevant, so I just want to share this with you. It's the true vine. So it's from John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is Chris Kane's devotion. She's written, today, Jesus wants to connect with you. He has given us a promise that if we stay close to him, our lives will be fruitful. We will see his transforming power flowing through us to the lost and broken world around us. Remain in God's presence today and watch what he will do. And I think just so far this morning, just the worship, the prayers, I just think that's so relevant. Oh, you're so distracting and cute. Anyone listening to this is going to think it's really weird, aren't they? There's a really cute child in front of me. But I just think so far those words were so relevant. And I think God meant me to read that just before I left the house with what's going on. Because isn't that what it's all about? I just want to apologise before I go any further that my computer got accidentally broken by my son, and it's okay, it's all forgiven and fine. So I'm afraid that I've got nothing interesting for you to look at, so if anyone gets bored and falls asleep, I totally understand, it's okay. But there's no nice pictures, and there's not going to be, which is really quite strange for me, but there you go. But in line with that, this sense of going into the broken world and using what we've got in this world, I just thought, even this morning, we have seen that. I just want to really... I know Elaine did in her prayers, but I just want to honour our young adults because I just think they're amazing. They're all amazing and young, just all of them. They're just incredible. And the gifts that they use, I think of Libby doing her thing yesterday and what Holly's done, just all of you are just amazing. But then you lot, you know, that song, my goodness, that song was just incredible. I've just got to echo it. And what I love... And I've got to say this without getting emotional. What I love is the love that you have for each other, how you stand by each other, how you... And that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about this morning, you know, standing with each other through the difficult times, through the good times. You know, the love that these young adults have standing with each other will get them through hard times, and I think it's absolutely incredible. And as I arrived this morning... She's going to hate me for doing this, but Elaine handed me something that she'd drawn for her birthday. Now, I've known Elaine since she was about small, like just tiny down here. And I never knew that she had artistic talent. I just never knew it. She handed me this morning as a gift. And it's just stunning. She drew me a lion. And it's just beautiful. And I just looked at it and I found the hidden cross. But when Joe and Scott, when you were doing your song, I looked at it and I found an eagle. And I'm assuming that's accidental. There's an eagle at the bottom, so you can come see it afterwards. There is an eagle there. So anyway, this is totally a little bit off at a tangent. I've got to look at the clock. But I just want to say what you do is wonderful and it is really relevant. Because what I'm going to be talking about this morning, I'm going to be following... Each time I speak, I'm going to be following the teaching from the Truth and Freedom course, which I know some of you here came to a while back. I make no apologies that I'm repeating this stuff because actually I think it's really important and I think it goes alongside with what's going on with the whole discipleship course and looking at what that means. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? How is that relevant? What do we need in that? So actually... Doing this in this way, I hope that you'll benefit from it. And I think, you know, no matter where we are in our journey of faith, healing, it goes on throughout. There is no, oh, I'm healed now, till we get to heaven. So actually it's relevant to each one of us, wherever we are on our journey with God. So, I hope that you know, if you have heard this teaching before, that you'll hear something new, because that's what happens for me. I hear something new in it. And do you know what's really exciting about this stuff? Is that it's hope. It's all about hope. No matter what we're going through in life, whether it is physically, emotionally, spiritually, there is hope. God is the healer. He wants to heal us. But actually, we have an active part in that. So we need to take on board what he's trying to tell us, what he's wanting us to do. But his desire for us is to walk in healing. So I'm going to start, so probably, I guess, whenever I speak, so it'll be kind of once a month, I guess, that we'll follow this stuff. And so I'm going to, and I thought, I hope you all benefit as much as I did from Sarah a couple of weeks ago. I thought what she brought about healing was just great. I thought she was wonderful, and I hope we're going to invite her back again. So here, this first session, I'm just going to kind of introduce the healing ministry of Jesus. Look at what he taught about healing and the reasons why we need to understand what it's about. And I need to say from the start that this is a teaching of Peter Horobin. I'm not taking any credit for it. I'm passing it on because I think it's great teaching. So I just want to give him that. So when Jesus came, we know he came obviously to save, but he also came to heal. He wants us to be healed. And he began his ministry by healing the sick. And then when he went to heaven, he commissioned the church. You know, we know that as the Great Commission, don't we? That he told us to go out into the world and make disciples. And sometimes we have this really unreal picture of what actually evangelism is about. We think that once someone's decided to become a Christian, once they've decided to follow Jesus, well, that's it. Our job's over. Oh, they've become a Christian. Great. See you later then. Just go to church and that'll be it. It's not like that. This is actually the moment where the work of making a disciple begins. This is the start of it. When someone's born again in the Spirit, that's God. That's supernatural. There's nothing we can do about that. But our job comes in following that. Go and make disciples. That's what Jesus said to the church. That's what he said to us. We can't make anyone be born again. That's God, that's the Spirit of God that does that. But we do have the job of making disciples. So, you know, doing something like this discipleship course, this is all very relevant to that. He said at the end of Matthew 28, teach them to do the same things that I have taught you to do. So let's look at the things that Jesus did teach the first disciples to do. In Luke 9, verses 1 and 2, Jesus gathered the disciples together and he said, I want you to go out, proclaim the kingdom of God, heal the sick, and I want to give you my power, my authority, so that you can cure diseases and cast out demons. That's what he said. Off you go. And they must have been pretty scared, I would think, pretty nervous to go out and do that. Go out and do actually what was the same work that Jesus was doing. But actually, when they did it, they found it was possible. And they came back and they were actually really excited and like, yeah, even the demons obeyed us. Because they saw people being set free wherever they went. They saw people walking into the light, being set free from the darkness. They saw people being transformed, being changed, their lives being turned around. And Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, let us throw aside everything that hinders us. Get rid of everything that stands in the way. Deal with the sin that so easily entangles us, so that we can run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Well, it's pretty hard to run a race. We've got a few runners in this room, I know, that are very good at it. But it's pretty hard to run if you've got a burden on your back, right? You don't want to run with a great big burden. And there's many things in our life, in our walk with Jesus, that can be an obstacle to living an abundant life. And the writer of Hebrews here is saying, let's get rid of those things. Let's look at them. Let's get them out the way so that we can run the race, so that we can fight the good fight as Jesus has asked us to do. To be set free from those things that are preventing us from living the life that Jesus died for us to have, that we were planned to have. And sometimes the things that are obstacles are things that need to be healed. You know, it's interesting that in that verse from Hebrews, sin is separated. You know, the stuff that hinders us clearly isn't the sin, because that's mentioned afterwards. You know, afterwards it says the sin that so easily entangles us. So it must be the problems or the wounds that hinder us. Things that maybe aren't in our control. Things that happen in life. So we need to face those issues, bring them to God so that they can be healed, so that we can be restored and carry on walking the walk. So in doing this, we need to actually look below the surface, look at the root causes which create the present problem. So, you know, look, if you take an obsession, take an addiction, unless the root of that is dealt with, as we know, it'll just go on to the next thing. I had that myself, you know. I was anorexic for years. I ended up with OCD for years. Actually, pretty much the same amount of years as well. It just went from one to another because the root wasn't dealt with. And towards the end of this chapter in Hebrews, it says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. So there's great encouragement here and in other parts for God to work from the inside out. Let's just not look at the symptoms, at symptom management, or, you know, you could say the same about behavior modification. God's not into that. He's into transformation. And it comes from the inside out. I love that song that's about, from inside out. That's what God wants to do. And some people, and I know I was, are really skeptical and unsure about the whole healing thing. It's a bit wacky. It's a bit weird. Okay with evangelism, with salvation, those words are okay. But start talking about healing and it's a bit more difficult. But actually, the word that's used for saved in Scripture is exactly the same word that is used for healing. So saved and healed are actually the same word. If you go back to the Greek, it's just translated differently according to the context. So when we're talking about salvation, actually we're talking about healing too. So Peter Horobin, this is his teaching, he used to be really into cars and renovating old cars. This is what he spent most of his time doing. And one day, God clearly said to him, you could spend your time rebuilding these old cars. It was a particular car he was doing at that time when God spoke to him. You could spend your time rebuilding this old car, or you could rebuild broken lives. What's more important? And he put that question for him. And this is where Peter made this journey, where he began to look into the whole healing ministry, the importance of once people come to know Jesus, then where does the restoration begin? How does that begin? And this was the beginning of his work. It's about 10 years that he prepared for this before he sort of launched this healing ministry, where he felt so clearly God's plan, you know, that God's plan was to heal lives. Some of you I know my story. I'm not going to tell my story now, but it was 20 years ago that I became a follower of Jesus. 20 years ago when an Alpha course I made my decision. I've been trying to convince everyone that God doesn't exist, and if he does, he's evil. But now actually, he's real. So that was my decision. But there's no way I could fulfill the destiny he had for me, the plan he had for my life, until actually I allowed him to heal some of the stuff that I was carrying around. And that took me a long, long while, because actually what I was doing was just being how I thought a good Christian should be, just putting on my church face, everything's great, everything's left at the cross, I forgive everyone, you know, praise Jesus, everything's fine. So until I allowed God to get inside and to sort out all that stuff, I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't fulfill the plan he had for me. And by the way, that's still going on. That doesn't end. That was what I started with. This is a journey. I'm still on that healing journey, as all of you are, or I hope you are. Or if you're not, I hope you will be, after having heard some of this stuff. But when I initially went and heard some of this stuff that I'm talking about today, I went because I was hearing lots of stuff from people that I thought, I don't know quite, like I'd done secular counselling training years ago, but I was hearing stuff that I wanted to understand from God's perspective. What does God say about this person who perhaps is, you know, wanting to end their life? What does God say about that? How do I help? What can I do? How can I be equipped? That's why I went to get trained, to go to, you know, 3 years training in healing and discipleship. Just help me help people. God, that's what I want. And I kind of felt like God tricked me at the time, because actually when he got me there, it was like, but you know what, if you're going to help other people, like the oxygen theory, yeah, you've got to put your own oxygen mask on before you can help anyone else. Same thing. It's like, how do you think you're going to help people unless you actually look at your own stuff first? So there began my journey, my personal journey of healing. And, you know, you can go, and I went on one of these retreats myself, where you can go and it's free of charge, and they just help you look at what could be the root causes of what's going on in your life. It's not just a putting a sticky plaster on it, which I think sometimes we can do, where it's just like, oh, you know, making no... not joining things up. You know, we're whole beings. We're spirit. We're body. We're emotion. It's all connected. So actually, if someone's got something physically wrong with them, not making that assumption that let's just pray. Oh, you've got a bad back. Okay, God, can you heal the back? Without perhaps looking a little bit deeper about what that could be about. Not saying there's always some like deeper meaningful. You know, let's not get carried away down that route. But it's looking at it, you know, what all the connecting elements of it. And usually when people go to something like a healing retreat, they have got to a point where actually they can't cope with what's going on in their lives. It's like it can be like a last resort, like, you know, I'm kind of stuck here. How can I do this? Because you don't tend to go to one of those things without being like a bit at the end of your, you know, you've got some disorder, some chaos in your life that you don't quite know how to deal with. So, you might be sitting here wondering how this applies to you, if it applies to you. Are you in need of healing? And it may help to look, and this helps me when I sometimes think, oh, for goodness sake, you know, what is this about? When we look back and look at God's plan, and this isn't about self-pity or anything like that, but when we look back at what God's plan was for us, and what is the reality in life? That can help us put all this stuff into some kind of perspective. So God's plan for a human being, as we know, was that we should be conceived and born into a covenant marital relationship to parents who love God, who know him, who are rejoicing in this opportunity to have relationship with each other. You know, they're having a child. That's his plan. Then through pregnancy, there'll be lots of love, lots of nurturing, lots of encouragement, life spoken into that child. So the child knows that they're loved, that they're wanted. And then, you know, when they arrive into the world, so that's their journey in the womb, which is a wonderful. When they arrive, it doesn't matter if they're a boy or girl, so you don't have that thing of, oh no, I wanted a boy and actually it's a girl. But you know, the parents are pleased with who they are. They've got this child, incredible. God's made them. And then the child grows up and it gets nurtured, it gets protected, loved by the parents, gradually discovering their own gifts, with parents encouraging them in those gifts, not trying to mold them into something they want them to be. And they develop into maturity. Then they go through teenage years, and they begin to have a healthy awareness of adult stuff. They grow into that. It's natural. They develop giftings where whatever they're good at becomes a career. And then they become adults. They find a partner who also loves Jesus. And they join together with someone who also has this deep, intimate relationship with God. They get married and they have children. The whole process starts again. That's God's plan. Isn't it nice? It's like a fairy tale. The reality is, it's just beautiful. The reality is we don't live in a world like that. Great, there are some. We all have different degrees of experiences, what we've been through, good things, bad things, whatever. But that isn't, you know, God's best hasn't actually come into plan, and we all know why that is, don't we? Going back to the Garden of Eden. But most people aren't brought up in that perfect environment as God intended it to be. You know, there's at least a couple of statistics. 50% of the children in our country are being brought up in single-parent families, which it wasn't God's plan. Well over 70% of children are conceived outside of marriage, many in acts of casual sex, and then they discover they're pregnant. The first reaction isn't, oh, good, I'm pregnant. So, you know, what happens with this stuff? How does a child feel on the inside when this happens? There's lots of abortions that have taken place of children who have been just left. We hear these stories all the time, don't we? Children being left in hideous places. And then many are born, but then they're not wanted. They're accepted to a certain extent, but not to the fullness that God intended. There's all different degrees with this. Many people go through difficult births. God didn't plan for there to be birth trauma. None of this was in his original plan. Sickness and disease are experienced along the way. We can't hide from abuse. Many are abused. What does that do to a child who is growing up? It leaves a child incredibly damaged from the stuff they've experienced. And then if we look at a different area, children, how we bring up our children. Many children, their education begins in front of the TV. They're put in front of it a few months old. TVs become babysitters. One statistic said that the average 10-year-old in the UK has seen 100,000 killings on TV. They're put in front of it, and sometimes we can think they're too young to understand, they don't know what's going on, but that's not true. Their spirit, even if it's not happening, cognitively, their spirit's taking in all this ungodly stuff that they're exposed to. There's an awful lot of stuff on TV which has some kind of damaging influence for adults and children, but so many children are given this diet for their life. And then when they grow up, they're pushed into sexual relationships so that they have contraceptives where they're such a young age. And actually, there's few children that survive without having some sort of understanding or experience sexually when they're young. And sometimes they're considered really weird if they are still a virgin. So the truth is, what this is all about is that actually people are inheriting, we are inheriting such a mess. This is the real world that we live in. It is a broken, hurting, dysfunctional world, as we all know. And the people around us have been brought up in this environment. We have been brought up in this environment. So that when we actually come into the kingdom of God, when we actually make that decision, we're born again of the Spirit. So the Spirit that was dead is brought back to life. But we've still got all that mess to deal with. I've used this analogy before. Again, it's someone else's analogy about a bird with oil slick on it when they're rescued out of the oil. You know, the bird is rescued. It's like the moment of salvation. It's rescued. It's brought out of the oil. But then it's covered in oil. So healing is that process of gradually cleaning off the oil, cleaning off the muck off the bird. It's the same thing. We have different degrees of issues, of problems. We all have it, whether we face it or not. We can be born again in a moment, but the Bible says it's our job actually to go make disciples. And making a disciple includes ministering healing those in need, because we need to actually deal with issues so that people can then become disciples themselves. This is what it's about. We're not healed so that it can just be, oh yay, I'm healed, great. We're healed so that then we can go help someone else heal. We can walk alongside each other. That's what we do. That's what I was saying about this morning when I was using the example of what our wonderful young people do. Stand alongside each other. Let me help you heal. Let me use what God has given me and help you heal. It's how he meant it to be. So we come to God with this mess, like the birds with oil on. And we have problems. We have problems with relationships. We have problems with ourselves. And the things that have affected us have become part of our normal life. These things that have messed us up. And sometimes we get involved with things of darkness. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, doesn't he, deliver us from evil. You know, sometimes we need to be set free from those things that have kind of held us in darkness so that we can walk into the light. We need to understand about inner healing. Many people are physically sick. And all this stuff needs to be dealt with together. And this is a personal decision, right? It's us individually getting to that place where we're hungry for that healing. And I think there was a sense of that a couple of weeks ago. We had to leave early, but I think there was a sense of that here from what I hear when Sarah was here, that hunger for light. Actually, you know, I want to move forward. I want the blockages to be removed. And this is our commission. Walk in our own healing. Let's get free from the stuff that we need to get free from so that we can then walk alongside others. This is the stuff that he taught the disciples. We are the disciples. of Jesus. This is what we need to be doing now. In John 15 verse 3, he says to his disciples, "My teaching has made you clean." So the purpose of this teaching is to help us understand. Help us understand what Jesus wanted us to do, his teaching, so that we can become healed, so that we can then understand how to bring restoration to others. So I'm just going to follow this stuff each time so that we go through these, you know, how do we do that? Because it's one thing saying it, it's another thing putting it into action. It can sometimes seem like such a big deal, and it doesn't need to be like that. It's the idea isn't, you know, God never intends for us to be overwhelmed. He's just saying, you know, let's just look at this realistically. Don't go through life beating yourself up for this, that or the other. You've been born into a dysfunctional world. Let's look at this stuff. Let's get some healing, and let's then live the abundant life that Jesus died for us to have. So I'm going to finish there, but there's usually this runs so that you get into groups and talk about, you know, there's a few questions that Danny's going to put up. Let me say this to you. If you are comfortable to get together with a few people and talk about the questions that are going to be up here, please do. It may well help you. Sometimes it's taking that step of, it might be uncomfortable, but let's just talk, you know, talk together a little bit about this and see what we think about it. See, you know, let's share opinions with this, share how we feel, grow together, because this is how it's meant to be. If you're not comfortable with that, please don't feel pressured into it. You know, go wander, do something, or just sit there quietly or whatever. But if we just have 10 minutes, all right? So if we have 10 minutes just to look at the top three questions, if you want to get together, please don't let this be something that alarms you. If you're not happy, don't do it. It's really okay. So in about 2 minutes, I'll just say a prayer to finish. But do not feel pressured by this. But sometimes you have to kind of get out your comfort zone a bit to move forward, I think, with these things. And the other two are up there because actually, if you go away with those things, you know, meditate on them alone and just think, you know, what is that about? Or maybe you want to share that with someone else, with a friend or somebody you trust. But yeah, just going to give you 10 minutes if you want to do this. No pressure. Okay. I don't know if we've got any, music or anything to put on. Would that be a good idea? Would that be helpful or unhelpful? Who's got an opinion? Helpful. Thanks, Megan. She says helpful. So maybe just, yeah. Someone's got to make the first move, haven't they? But it's really okay if you don't want to. No pressure.
dries. Here comes the day, it's breaking in my heart. Your children are running to you. You're coming as a shore as the sun is rising. Here comes the day, it's breaking in my heart. Your children are running to you.